Yankees win!
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
We lost a $900 million bid to buy the LA Rams.
Look, that contract extension was for $176 million.
The stadium will cost $1.1 billion.
Champions are made and cash always follows. But where did it all start? These are the true stories of the blockbuster sports deals that went down in the locker room, boardroom, and between the lines that made many people very, very wealthy. From Entrepreneur Media, this is The Playbook. I'm CEO of Sports One Marketing and your host, Dave Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing, here on Entrepreneurs The Playbook. And I am extremely excited because this is a guy, you know, you get to a certain part of your own career that you're actually a fan. And I am a fan of this guy. I grew up in San Diego. Great, great football player. Has one of the best nicknames ever, which he really capitalized on into a brand and into a really successful business. And he's truly an entrepreneur. All-pro football player, Sean Merriman here with me. San Diego Charger, tiny career in Buffalo. I don't count that. We'll just talk about those all-pro years for the Chargers. You know, they call him Lights Out for a reason. We'll get into that. But welcome, Sean. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. So the playbook's about taking the lessons that you learned on the field, your personal playbook,
yeah,
and how you applied. I mean, you're an incredible football player, but how you applied all those lessons into the real business world. And no, you're a true entrepreneur, man. And I'm just so impressed with where you're at right now. You've had ups and downs like me, but tell me about your playbook, what you carried over from the field onto the business.
Well, you know, I think it was, first and foremost, it was my attitude, right? And determination.
Yep.
You know, how people see me play on the field is how I approach everyday life.
Lights out.
Yeah, it's lights out. You know, I get up.
And how'd you get that nickname?
I got the nickname my sophomore year at Frederick Douglass High School in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, where I went to high school, knocked out four guys in one game. And it's just true.
Three and one half, right?
Three and one half, and the other one in the second half. And I know the social media wasn't as big back then, so it's kind of a whole myth that it didn't happen. You know what happened? Since that game, people started calling me Lights Out, and I kept it all the way through college, where I went to University of Maryland, and then through the pros.
Now, were you dreaming about playing for Baltimore someday?
It was close. Redskins? You know, I almost went to the Redskins. Yeah. They had I think it was a ninth pick that they had that year, and I went 12th.
Right.
And I took a visit there.
Thank God Eli did not want to go to the San Diego Chargers, because you got to go to my team, and I got to watch what I consider one of the greatest linebackers ever to play.
Thank you.
In your career. Well, let's get back to, you got this determination.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just carried you. How did that apply? Like, tell me about the business side of where you needed to use that.
Well, you know, I hear a lot, that former players struggle a little bit getting into their next part of their life, right? And it's hard. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you got a regiment, you practice, you're watching film, you're working out. It's pretty strong.
People telling you what to do.
Yeah, telling you what to do. And now you wake up and trying to figure out, okay, what do I do next? I think one of the strongest points for me was the work ethic, right? And not just because I worked out hard or I watched film and things like that, but I was always hungry for this information. I was always hungry for information. I would pull over one of these veterans. I would pull over one of these guys who've been in the NFL for a long time and say, hey, what do I need to do in order to do this? What do I need? And I was that guy.
Yeah.
I wanted to find out.
You didn't know it all.
I wanted to know.
You wanted to learn.
I wanted to learn.
Who's one of the guys that mentored you for the Chargers, for you?
Well, first it was, you know, LeVar Arrington when he was with the Washington Redskins linebacker out of Penn State. Through my high school years, and I then started to spend a lot of time with Ray Lewis. And then when I got to the San Diego Chargers,
that's right,
at the time,
right.
You know, it was guys like LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, Lorenzo Neal, Roman Oben, Donnie Edwards, Randall Garfrey. I had Jamal Williams. I had a bunch of guys around me who I can go and pull over to the side and say, hey, what does it take for me to do this? And that's one thing I think that people are forgetting all the time is the ability to get information. And if you apply that same want to learn and that same want to, I need this information so I can go out and do the things that I want to do, then I think you can be successful in a lot of things.
Did you ask any of those guys that mentored you or other mentors that transition's hard for even the most successful people, right? It's just such a different life. And you're so competitive and so successful, then you get in the business world, and all of a sudden there's like a tiny guy like me, and you're like, darn, that guy knows everything about it. And he's taking it, guys like me are taking advantage of you and manipulating the situation, because while you've been practicing, watching film on the field since you were in the 10th grade, knocking out people, right? I was studying in business school, law school, right? Playing Division III football, but mostly studying. And then in the business world practicing, who is mentoring you to tell you, hey, here's the ins and outs. I can help you out, Sean.
Well, you know, I got a chance because of my all my years of playing football and having a name and people know who I am as a football player. You know, I was allowed to be around some of the top CEOs in the world, some of the biggest businessmen in the world. And, you know, because I was the linebacker of the San Diego Chargers at the time, and I was allowed in these meeting rooms, but I would literally go in the meeting rooms where they have these board meetings where they would be negotiating deals, and I would understand things along the way. I would understand what the apparel industry was about, not just making clothes, but the business side of it. You know, I would understand these things by just wanting to get that information. Taking my off seasons, going and going to, you know, these big meetings and sitting there and getting all this information. That way, when it was time for me, which I was still very young, that I was able to apply it to everything that I'm doing now.
So here you are, you create Lights Out, which was a great brand, and like any great brand with any great young CEO, you start having some difficulties. And why don't we talk me through kind of what that felt like and what you did to overcome it? Because, you know, you're a great success now, and you know, you're into NASCAR. Your brand is exceptional. I mean, I love the logo.
Thank you.
But tell me about, you know, here you are, you have this brand, and all of a sudden you're playing with the big boys, and they kind of start manipulating you.
I mean, you're it's a competitive field. The apparel industry is tough. It's literally a day-to-day grind where you got some of the biggest companies out there putting tons of money into marketing whose budgets are unlimited, right? So I knew what I had along with some of these companies that didn't have, unless you were spending a ton of money. I had a hell of an outreach because of my Rolodex that I collected over the last decade or so. I've built a platform for myself through which the NFL is a big part of that. But I also had this marketing tool that, you know, I had a Lights Out dance, and I had this whole Lights Out thing, and I branded it, and I ended up buying Lights Out from a company called PJ Salvage in Irvine. They were a big pajama company that had some other classifications under their trademark, and I bought them and acquired them all, and then I started to then sell Lights Out.
And it took off.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden people started infringing on your rights.
Yeah.
The big boys.
The big boys.
So what did you do at that time? Because a lot of people just would have said, you know what, in your position, I can start over. I don't want to waste because it's going to cost me millions of dollars to fight this.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the big boys was Nike. I was a Nike client, you know, Nike athlete my whole entire career. And, you know, I was very proud of that. And I had great relationships there and friendships and
Bill Keller.
Yeah, Bill.
He was a client.
Yeah,
at least.
Bill.
Yeah.
You know, Bill was Cliff King.
Yeah, great guys.
Yeah, all great guys who I was really close to. I mean, I had great relationships with these guys that I would talk to on different bases other than just about football.
Right.
So, you know, when it happened when they were using the Lights Out trademark, it was very tough for me to, not only financially, because, you know, you have to spend
a lot of money.
You have to spend a lot of money to go out and fight that, but also to make a decision to say, hey, I mean, these are family. Friends and family and people I think very close to me, but I also have something that I've worked my entire life on that I have to get them to stop infringing, or else then you give everybody else the right to do it.
Right.
And I was in a tough, tough situation, and I literally had people who was working for me at the time that was supposed to be in my corner say, we can't go forward with this because we have other Nike clients or athletes, or we don't want to be involved in something as big. So I had people in my own corner that was not going forward with me in this lawsuit battle. And when I did that, it was cut. I wasn't able to speak to anyone in Nike. And it was very dark between us two for the 2.5 years of the litigation.
Have they forgiven you? Or is there still?
I don't know if they ever forgive you. Yeah. You know, once you sue somebody, it's always right. there. You know,
true. I've forgiven everyone when I went through my shit. I had to forgive them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't forgive them for them.
Yeah.
I forgive them for me.
Right.
Right? And I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, you know, I always thought that Lights Out was a brand that, at the time, I thought that it was going to be under Nike's umbrella.
Yeah.
I thought that Nike saw the value in Lights Out and really wanted to go forward with it, and they didn't. So I was a little bit shocked at that. So anyway, I knew that I had the information, knowledge, and I had the backing to go on and build a brand of my own and also be able to bring athletes under the brand of Lights Out and do the same things that they were doing. Because I was very, very connected in the Nike family and in a circle, just to have the privilege of being around and knowing how the business side of it works.
Before we continue the interview, here's a word from our sponsor. Champions have tools that help them win, ranging from the strict diets to the shoes they choose to wear. When they go to the boardroom, a single tool stands out to make sure they are productive and get the best deal possible. Their Black Moleskine Notebook from Best Self Company. Check out the Best Self Journal at bestself.co. That's bestself.co. Okay, let's get back to the interview. So, you know, in your playbook, everyone has persistence, right? Which is that pursuit. And as a linebacker, obviously, I mean, it's like a thirst to win. Then you have this unbelievable quest for knowledge. That really is surprising to me, right? Like, while you're at the team, you had a different perspective than I thought you would. But even further than that, in your playbook, like, what else in the business side of things you think that you learned? You got the work ethic. You have all this stuff coming down. I grew up in a single mom, six kids, you know, all boys and a girl. So I was like you. I probably a little bit full of frustration. So when I went through my hard times, you know, I physically wanted to, you know, and thank goodness I don't have your size, right? But I physically, did you ever get tempted to, like, cause I have, tempted to go across a conference table and just lights out?
Absolutely. Especially when you hear a company that you're fighting or going against saying, we don't even know what lights out. We don't even know who Sean Merriman is. He wasn't even a great athlete.
Craig Cheeks is sitting across the table going, who?
Yeah, and right. I'm just sitting there like, what do you mean? You know, right. The records don't say
so. How do you take that? Because this is a big part about being a leader. You know, you lose your cool on the football field. You can actually use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
You lose your cool in a courtroom or in a conference room or in negotiation, you can ruin everything. Right.
Yeah.
And so what did you use as a technique in the business world to kind of have that, what I call the Warren Moon majesty of calmness?
Yeah.
Somehow get above that. I want to kick your butt and lights out to you.
Well, for me, it was about the fight.
Yep.
That's what it was about. It was taking what I would do on Sunday and go out and physically manhandle somebody, but doing it in the courtroom and saying, hey, we're going to show you that this is a real brand. We're going to show you that this is very powerful. We're going to show you that I built this with my own money, with my own time. I have no investors. It's been me. I'm the 100% owner of Lights Out.
Nice.
You know, and I was going to fight for it, and it didn't matter who it was. It could be Nike, Under Armour, which, you know, we had our run into also. Yeah. It didn't matter.
Which really hurts for being a Baltimore guy, right?
You're
on every side, Sean. Yeah. What a shame. That's crazy.
Because for me, it got to the point where with Under Armour, I wasn't allowed to their events through our lawsuit.
Wow.
I was actually told that I wasn't welcome. I wasn't welcome there.
Wow.
And these are guys who I consider my friends. Yeah. You know, I played at the same school, you know, University of Maryland. These guys played ball.
Some guys who I looked up to, KP and Kevin
Plank. Yeah. I was literally told that I was not able to go in. Came and said, hey, you got to leave. And I said, what do you mean? You know, I didn't cause this. I was actually trying to be
gracious
and fair about it, but you know, kind of just turned your back on me and you're not going to pay this attention. You have to pay me attention.
Yeah.
So it got to the point where I was asked to leave, literally.
Wow.
But that didn't matter. That didn't matter to me at all because I knew I had something. And just like anybody else who's built a company or built a brand, they've had to go through it. I've just finished reading Phil Knight's Shoe Dog.
Yeah.
Excellent book. Great book.
What
that book did for me was it got a chance for me to look into the inside of what he had to go through. You know, he had his fights with Converse and some of these bigger companies A6. Back in the day and ASICs the 70s and 80s and things like that. Some of the your manufacturing problems that you might have to deal with. Some of the big boys at the time doing the same thing to him. So this is the part of the business in order to get to where you want to go. I'll be reading Kevin Plank's book one day when he reaches out, just to, you know, to learn. He's another one.
I'm gonna give you one of my books, Connected to Goodness. I'll give you the other side.
Okay.
But they, you know, one of the things that's interesting is, I always tell people, you head your way into something, whether it's football or business. If you're halfway in, it's not gonna work, right? Yeah. You got to be all in. And when you get into a courtroom, you better be all in, right? Because it's millions of dollars, and you were willing to give up everything that you had earned to save this company and to prove that, look, you're right. And, you know, what's scarier to you, right? Going on to a football field, giving all in, and you have all this great talent. Because for me, I've been in that situation, you know, being a smaller guy.
Yeah.
And I, you know, as a punt returner sometimes, you know, I played in college. It was terrifying, but not nearly as when I was standing in a courtroom going, I could lose every single thing that I've worked for. You know, what'd that feel like? And compare those two for me.
Yeah, I would say that the courtroom battles for one, and then also the possibilities of losing something that you built. You know, retired athlete.
Part of you is a
this
limb.
This is you know, I built it. This is my name. I've been called since I was 16 years old. But also, you know, I've also invested my time, money, and energy into this name and this brand. What lights out. And there's somebody else who makes a decision on what happens. And you have someone over here with billions and billions of dollars that you're looking across the courtroom and they can keep this going for years if they want
to. Yeah, your life in somebody else's life.
In somebody else's hand, right. And there's nothing you can do about it. So yeah. there's no – that's a real fear because that ultimately, I mean, you know, I spent close to no more than seven figures.
Right.
Fighting the big boys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I probably would have kept spending. It didn't matter. I would go pick up jobs. I don't care. I was going to fight because I know what I built. I know what this stands for.
Right.
And hopefully that's a lesson to anybody.
That's awesome. Well, and sooner or later, the truth always comes out, I tell people. So, you know, for the playbook, you have these great lessons. One, persistence, which is amazing. But I really appreciate the quest for knowledge. And then lastly, kind of all, you got to go all in as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And you got to believe in, you know, that's part of you. Now, the last question that I like to ask, you have the Lights On Foundation.
Yeah.
And you give so much back to your community in Maryland. What legacy, you know, such a great football legacy and now business legacy. You're an owner in a NASCAR team.
Yeah.
You're bringing these kids out all over the place. What legacy do you want to leave when it's all over for Sean Merriman?
You know, that someone else can be in my situation. I grew up in PG County. We didn't have much growing up. And it was several times throughout my life where I was like, we're not going to make it. I just can't. It's just too much. You know, I come home from practice. We didn't have food. You know, we didn't have lights and I lost two homes to fires, and lived in shelters when we lost the homes. And now to be an owner of a company of this size and going this well. And also now, as you said, the NASCAR team, I'm a NASCAR owner on the Can-Am series. My driver, Jesse Iwuji,
nice.
Was one of two African-Americans in all of NASCAR. Great guy. And now being able to take 150 kids I'm doing next week. From my middle school where I grew up at in James Madison Middle School and some from Baltimore and some from Washington, D.C. area, and bring them out to a NASCAR race that's in Delaware on the 28th. That to me, it'll grow. You know, I want to get up to 500 one day, and I want to get up to even bigger than that and start doing it all over the country because I was awarded this opportunity to play in football. You know, I had a gift. That's what I did, and that was my way out of my situation and where I was at. You know, all these kids or multiple kids who was in my situation, they won't have that opportunity to be a professional athlete. But they have a possibility of being a NASCAR driver one day or being in the NASCAR circuit, you know, maybe working somewhere in the NASCAR's front office or, you know, somewhere.
Marketing for marketing. Sports One Marketing,
yeah,
right?
You know, Sports One Marketing.
That exactly. They can you come know, give and, me the resume.
Yeah, this is about the opportunity. You know, this is about giving somebody else the opportunity once you've made it. And I think that everybody, once you get to a certain point, or a level in life, if you don't go back and start grabbing the people from where you were from, then you haven't made it. And that's what I live by.
That's awesome. Well, it's an honor to have Sean Merriman on here. I, you know, think of you, you know, it doesn't matter if you have the heart to come from behind. It doesn't matter if you have the lead, as long as you have the heart to come from behind. And looking at the successes you have and knowing your entire career, you know, we give a shout out to the Maryland Public Schools, like the Emmy Awards for DC.
Yeah.
But you are an incredible product of your environment, and you're an inspiration to so many people of all ages.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate you giving back, especially to the kids. We love having you on the playbook. Thank you for your playbook. I'm sure people are inspired by it, and hopefully they won't quit. They have a quest for knowledge and have the persistence that you have in whatever they're doing, whether it's being a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, or hopefully even a great linebacker that can knock four people out in one game. Thank goodness I did not play against you, because I would have been number five. That's if I didn't fall down first. But Sean, thanks so much for being on Entrepreneur the Playbook.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday when we feature another story on how a sports icon went from the playing field to the boardroom. The Playbook is produced by Nathan Lotka, and our media partner is Entrepreneur.com.